What a blessing. You enjoy that singing this morning? Say amen.
Amen.
Thank God it is still the blood. Amen. I love those songs about the blood. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Take your Bible this morning. Turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter number 30. 1 Samuel chapter number 30. That's right before 2 Samuel, okay? So you shouldn't have much trouble finding that. 1 Samuel chapter number 30. I had no idea about this, but Brother CJ told me this morning that Creflo Dollar has a half-brother. Did y'all know that? His name's 50 Cent. Amen. It's about as corny a joke as I've ever heard. That's why I had to tell it. Amen. 1 Samuel chapter number 30 this morning, a couple of verses of Scripture, and a thought the Lord gave me, let's see, before it snowed, whenever that was. I was on an airplane flying home from Florida, and I was just listening to the conversations around me. My wife and I are greatly annoyed by loud-talking people. Go figure, amen? Here I am, a pastor, and spend half my time yelling. But you ever got in a situation like on an airplane or in a restaurant and the people in the next booth, you can't even hear your own conversation because they're talking so loud. And I was coming home on the plane, and just so happened there was a couple sitting behind me, and the lady had one of those annoying voices. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Sound like Kermit the Frog on acid or something, and just kind of get in your head and just yah, 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 yah. And the guy in front of me was talking real loud, and the guy on the, and it was just conversations all around me. And I was just sitting there, I guess you'd call it eavesdropping, but I would call it you can't help dropping, amen? There was no way to avoid hearing what all they were saying. And I was listening to their conversations, and I was listening. I began to realize some things about our society and where we are as citizens and as Americans, where we are as a country spiritually. I was just listening. It's amazing how people could sit and talk for an hour and a half and nothing spiritual ever come up. Amen. People could sit, I'm listening to all these conversations. You would think at least out of one of the four conversations that I'm listening to, at least one time God would have been mentioned or church would have been mentioned, right? Amen. I mean, if you get around this crowd and you listen to them talk for an hour and a half, you're going to hear something, surely, I hope, about the Lord. Amen. But in those four conversations, I heard nothing about the Lord. I heard some about politics. I heard some about politics. I heard some about the economy. I did. I heard some about movies. They were talking about, have you seen a certain movie? And I heard all these different things, but nothing about the Lord. And I thought about this scripture while they were talking. In 1 Samuel chapter number 30, David is leading the children of Israel. He's the king for God's people. And they go into battle. And this group of people called the Amalekites, they're the enemy. They take some things away from God's people. They rob them. They take women and children. They take the spoils. They take their money, if you will, their livestock, and they just kind of raid them and pilter their stuff. And in verse number 18, the Bible said, and David, say that next word with me, recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away, and David rescued his two wives. And there was nothing lacking to them, neither small nor great, neither sons nor daughters, neither spoil nor anything that they had taken to them. David recovered all. Twice in those two verses we have that statement, David recovered all. To recover something, that must mean it must have been lost. Is that simple enough? If you're going to go get something back, that means it must have been lost. Amen? I was thinking about Levi and William went to a pawn shop the other day and bought some guns. But I thought about, you know, how people go to a pawn shop. And sometimes things are taken, but sometimes they're just sold. Amen? People get in a bad way sometimes, and they'll take something, a watch or jewelry or a gun, and they'll pawn it off in hopes of going back and getting it. Yeah. Amen. I'm going to let this go for a while because I need the money right now. And if I can, I'll go back before the, I think they have a time limit when you pawn something, and I'll go back and I'll get it. But you know, most times they never do. Most of the time they never do. The thing I want to get at this morning is if there is any hope for our country, if there's any hope for America, if there's any hope for our homes, for our communities, if there's any hope for our churches, we are going to have to recover some things. We're going to have to recover some things that have been lost. And I think the greatest things in America that have been lost is not the good economy. It's not great politics. I don't think those are the greatest things that have been lost in our country. Amen? I think there are some simple Bible truths that have been stolen away or let go or sold down the river that we need desperately to recover this morning. Amen. Would you agree with me? We need to recover some things. If you'll study your Bible and you'll go through your Bible and you'll start with the nation of Israel and you'll go all the way through that thing, you'll see a pattern in the Bible. And here's the pattern. There is revival, and then there's a falling away, and then there's judgment. Would you agree with that? The revival is a renewing of the Spirit of God or a renewing of the love of God with the people. Then there is a falling away where that revival time and that time of being close to God and next to God, where that thing begins to wane off or filter out and just kind of die by the wayside. And then comes the judgment of God. You know what the judgment of God is for? It's not just to punish us, but sometimes it's to wake us up.
Yes, sir.
Amen? I would say America needs a wake-up call. Would you? Amen? I said there's some things in America we need to wake up about and realize what's going on around us. Listen, we sat here this morning, we're shouting happy and having a good time, rejoicing that it's still the blood, and we just stopped by. They sang "We Just Stopped By" on our way home, and we rejoice in those good songs, but we need to wake up and realize that our world around us is falling to pieces.
Yes.
Amen. And we need to realize that the answer is not in Washington, D.C. Do you understand that? It's not on the Republican side. It's not on the Democrat side. It's not on the Libertarian side. They do not have the answers, but I hold in my hand this morning a book that has the answer for all of mankind this morning. Amen? There's some truths that we need to recover. Did you know that America was founded on this book right here? Amen. Did you know that America was founded on the B-I-B-L-E, on its principles, on its values?
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Amen.
The Ten Commandments are engraved in buildings in Washington, D.C. The Supreme Court had the Ten Commandments engraved on the front of its building. Amen? I would say this country was founded on this book. America was born out of a revival. You understand that? It was a time when people wanted to worship God as they choose without a political leader telling them how they could worship, when they could worship, and who they should worship. Amen. That's why we're here this morning. Amen. And we had a great time of revival. And America prospered. And America became a great nation. Matter of fact, she became the greatest nation on the face of this planet. But I would say over the last 75 years, the last 50 years, that America has greatly fallen away from what she was founded on. Amen. Would to God somebody stand up in Congress and say, I found the answer. It's in this book. I found the solution to our problems. It's right here in this Bible. We need to stop all the debates and all the arguing back and forth. We need to stop all the backstabbing and the slandering and everything that we're doing against each other. And we need to get on our knees and get back to God. Amen?
Amen.
Several truths we need to regrip and regain in America. Number one, the ruin or the fall of man. The ruin or the fall of man. Did you know the society is trying to teach us that man started off dragging his wife by the hair and toting a club over his shoulder? Amen. We start off like some kind of caveman, half monkey, half human. That's the stupidest thing I ever heard. Amen. I mean, you got to be an absolute, if you believe that, you're educated beyond your intelligence. If evolution is so, why don't we see that in process? Amen. Surely to goodness, somebody would be caught up in the middle somewhere. Now, I have run into a couple that made me scratch my head. Amen. But seriously, I ain't seen nobody running around with a tail, have you? Amen. If we are evolving somewhere, somebody's stuck. Amen. Somebody don't know where they monkey or man. The Rochesters, I was just with them a week before last, whenever it was, and down in Florida, and they were singing. Their little kids, they sing that song, "I'm No Kin to the Monkeys." Amen. I'm no kin to the monkeys. Hallelujah. I'm no kin to the monkey. I don't believe man started out at a low, low state. That is absolutely contrary to what the Bible teaches. Did you know the Bible teaches us that man started out in a perfect state? Absolutely perfect. Did you know that the state man started out in, he would have never died? He would have never aged? Why would you like that? Man, they sell an anti-aging cream by the tons, amen? People are trying to fight getting old. Forget it. There ain't a thing in the world you can do about it. It's happening, amen? You've got older since you got here, amen? Amen. We're getting older every minute. But man started out in a perfect state. Is this thing, this our problem in our country this morning didn't start with a certain president. Amen. It kills me. Everything is the last guy's fault. You know what the next guy's going to say? It's Obama's fault. And the next guy after him will say it was the last guy's fault. It didn't start with a president. It started way back in Genesis chapter number 3. God made man and put him in a perfect setting, in a perfect world. And God said, you can do anything in this place you want. You can eat anything in this place you want, but just don't touch that tree. That one tree, don't touch it. He said, if you do, you will surely die. So what did man do? I tell my grandbaby, Hayden, don't touch that. He's going to touch it. Amen. He's going to touch it. So Eve, y'all know the story. Eve took of the fruit, told Adam about it, talked him into doing it, and they both did it. And God came in the cool of the day and said, Adam, where art thou? God knew where Adam was. God knew where Adam was. He knew exactly where Adam was. He wanted Adam to know where Adam was. Amen. God knows where America is. Amen. The Bible said the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. Listen, God knows where I am this morning. I don't have to say, God, I don't know if you knew it or not, but I'm right here. This is where I am spiritually, God. This is where I am in my walk with you. This is where I am in my prayer life. This is where I am in my Bible time. God said, I know where you are. God knew where Adam was all along, but he wanted Adam to realize where Adam was. He wanted Adam to realize something has changed. Amen. Adam said, well, we was hiding. Well, why are you hiding, Adam? Well, we woke up this morning and figured out we was naked. Yeah. How'd you know you was naked, Adam? Yes. God's trying to get Adam to admit his problem. Yes, sir. I think with America, I believe, especially on 9/11, 2001, yes. I believe God was trying to get America to realize where we are. I believe God's trying to get America to realize the situation we're in, that it's not a political problem. It's not an economic problem. It's not a leadership problem, but it's the same old problem that it's been for 6,000 years. It is a sin problem. Amen. 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 The soul that sinneth, it shall surely die. Yes. Amen. Be sure your sin will find you out. The wages of sin is death. I mean, it's all through the Bible. How many of you realize you're a sinner this morning?
Yes, sir.
Well, be honest.
Yes, sir.
Every one of us know in our heart that we're a sinner. What does it mean to be a sinner? This is elementary simple this morning, but we need to re-grasp this truth.
Amen.
We like to think about how good we are. We do. We like to be told how good we are. That's why these community churches are so popular. These churches that don't have pastors, they have motivational speakers. Yeah. Amen.
Right.
They get up and tell everybody how wonderful they are. That's what we want to hear. We don't want to hear the truth.
Yeah, that's right.
We don't want to hear somebody get up and say, you're wicked.
That's right.
Amen. Amen. You say, preacher, I didn't get up and get dressed this morning and drive all the way down here to hear you tell me how sorry I am. I'm sorry, but you're sorry. Amen. Amen. And I'm right there in the same boat with you. We're all sinners. The Bible said, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We need to re-grasp the truth this morning that man in his present condition is in a fallen state.
Amen.
Amen. Wouldn't it be amazing if somebody stood in Congress or the White House and said, here's the problem, we're wicked.
Yeah.
Amen. We've gotten away from God, America. We need to get back. Can you hear that liberal crowd? They'd have heart attacks and die all over the place. Amen. They would have a fit. I remember when the lady from Delaware was running for Congress, I believe it was, or a Senate seat. I think it was Congress. And they were talking on the talk radio. And one guy called in to the talk radio and said something to the fact, said, can you believe that crazy woman actually believes that Jesus is going to come back? They made her out to be a fool. They made her out to be a fool. Anytime they get somebody who is a Bible believer and they get them in some kind of political confrontation, they always try to make them look like some kind of idiot. Listen, I'm not an idiot for believing man is a sinner. Amen? I mean, brother, it doesn't take much common sense to figure that out. All you got to do is look around you. Get in the car with Brother Daniel after church. He'll take you right down to the Carroll County Jail. You don't believe this world's full of sin? You don't believe this world's full of wickedness? All you've got to do is look around you just a little bit.
Yeah.
Watch the news for 5 minutes.
Yes,
and you'll realize where we are as a country, we're sinners.
Amen.
Amen. You know what we need? We need some old-fashioned preachers.
Yes,
amen. Amen. We need some people with a King James Bible that'll stand up and say, hey, we're wicked as all get out. Amen. And we just simply need to get right with God.
Yes, amen.
Amen. You know the greatest thing? There's only one great thing about being a sinner. There's only one great thing about being a sinner. God forgives sin.
Yes. Amen.
How about that? Amen. We have a problem. If we'll be honest, we know the problem.
Yes.
And if we'd even be further honest, we know there's a cure for the problem.
Yes,
amen. I believe in this pattern of history where we are under some sort of the judgment hand of God.
Yeah. I believe it.
I believe it may get worse before it gets better. Amen. I remember on 9/11, Jerry Falwell's dead and in heaven now. But they interviewed him on television and about the fall of the Twin Towers and the planes crashing it. And they asked him what he thought the cause of all that was. And he said, God is judging America. You know what they did? They made him look like a fool. But that is exactly what God is doing. God is judging America. You don't think with all the floods that have came and the tsunamis and the first one thing and then the other. And now God, he hit us physically. On 9/11. He hit us physically in New Orleans and all these places where the devastation came. He hit us physically. Now he's hit us where it hurts us the most. Right there in that old wallet, amen? Yes, sir. Gas is going up. Food's going up. Inflation's out the roof. And unemployment's at an all-time high. God is saying, hey, you're in this pattern of judgment right now. It's time for revival.
Amen.
What causes us to cry out to God is when we realize something's missing.
Yes, sir.
What causes us to cry out to God is when we realize, hey, we're not where we used to be.
Yes.
Things aren't as good as they used to be.
Amen.
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 Man, used to the American dream, man. Get out of high school, get a good job, buy a house, get married, and have 2 or 3 kids and a Labrador Retriever and a 4-wheel drive truck and a shotgun. Amen. And now they're after all that.
Yeah, amen.
Amen. We're going to have to realize that we are still in a fallen state.
Amen.
Look at your neighbor and say, you're just a sinner. That's all you are. Tell them. That's the truth. And right back up here too, friend. Do you know what I am this morning? I'm a sinner. But I'm a sinner saved by grace. Amen. The only difference between me and those men that Brother Daniels put behind bars down there in Carroll County, the only difference between me and them, the only difference between you and them is the grace of God. Amen. You probably wouldn't be honest enough to say it this morning, but I will. I deserve to be in jail. You say, preacher, what have you done? I think of something. Amen. I guarantee you, I've never been locked up a day in my life. I was just slick. That's all there was to it. Amen. I should have been. I should have been, and I should be this morning. I do not deserve liberty. I do not deserve freedom. Are you listening? And I sure don't deserve God's forgiveness, but I got it. God didn't give it because I earned it. God didn't give it because I deserved it. God just gave it because He loved me and I asked for it. Amen? And you know this morning, if you'll ask for it, He'll give it to you too. Amen. You can get saved just like I did. Had a boy told me yesterday afternoon at the funeral home. He said, God wouldn't save me. You don't know what all I've done. I said, I don't give a flip what you've done. I said, if He'll save me, He'll save anybody. Amen. He'll do it if you'll ask Him this morning. Why don't you realize, come to the realization that your problems this morning is not the society around you. You go to a psychiatrist and they'll spend all day long, Brother Robert, trying to make you say you hate your mom and daddy, won't they? They want you to point all your problems at somebody else. Well, I'm this way because of my daddy, and I'm this way because... No, you're that way because you're a sinner. Amen. I have anger issues because my daddy spanked me. No, he didn't spank you enough. Amen. We okay this morning? We need to realize that our problem is not everybody else. Obama's not my problem. Nancy Pelosi's not my problem. The government is not my problem. I shaved my problem this morning. Are you listening to me? I said I shaved my problem this morning. I had to hold her down a long time, but I'm kidding. It's right here. Amen. My problem's right here. My problem's not society. My problem's me. Amen. My problem's not a bunch of liberals. My problem is me. Did you know I'm not responsible for society? I'm not responsible for you. But I am responsible for me. Why don't you get your mind off of everybody else and go, He's right. I'm a sinner. There's sin in my life, and I just need to get right with God. Amen? Amen. Some truths we need to grasp again this morning. I said, number one, the ruin of man. But then number two, there's the redemption of man. Amen. I'm glad God didn't leave man in his fallen state. Amen. God made a provision even way back there for Adam and made him clothes of skins and blood was shed. Yes. Amen. And God looked into the future and foreordained that Christ would come. And go to Calvary and take my place and take your place and bear on His body the iniquity of us all. Hallelujah. Yes, amen. I'm glad fallen man can be redeemed or reborn. Amen. Amen. Jesus told Nicodemus in John chapter number 3, except a man be born again, he shall not see the kingdom of God. You know what it means to be born again? Nicodemus couldn't grasp that. He said, how can a man enter the second time in his mother's womb? Jesus said, man, you just don't get it. You just don't get it. It's a spiritual birth. It's a new birth. Yeah. Amen. I was born on November the 13th, 1964, to Eddie and Sandra Wyatt. Amen. They gave me a name. I have a birth certificate. It's in the courthouse there in Dallas. Yes. Amen. Amen. But I'm glad on January the 1st, New Year's Eve, 20-something years ago, I'm glad there was a new birth certificate. Recorded in heaven. Amen? Amen. I'm glad I was born again. I was adopted into a brand new family. And that was the family of God. Amen. We need to realize that man is in a fallen state, but we need to realize that there is redemption for fallen man. Amen. John chapter 14 and verse number 6 is still in the Bible. Man, we've got everything in the world out there today. Whatever you want it to be, that's what it is. Right? All you, to go to heaven, all you got to do is believe in something. That's not what the Bible teaches. That is so contrary to the Word of God. Amen. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh to the Father but by me.
Amen.
That's still in the book. There is only one name, the Bible said, given among men, whereby ye must be saved.
Amen.
And that's Jesus Christ, friend. Amen.
Yes.
We've said it over and over and over and over. If Jesus is not the only way, why did he have to die? Why did Calvary even have to be if there was another way? I love riding my bicycle. I enjoy exercising and riding my bicycle. But Brother Lamar, it's not going to get us to heaven.
Amen.
Amen. I've rode as far as that Silver Comet Trail goes. I ain't seen heaven yet. Amen. But there's a crowd that believes if you pedal a bicycle a couple of years out of your life, amen, go door to door and tell people about a false gospel, that they might get to heaven. And they're still not even sure they're going. I'm talking about the Mormons. Yes, I am.
Yeah.
I'm talking about the Jehovah's Witness.
Yeah.
I remember they came to my door one time. And I said, now, wait a minute. I said, don't y'all believe ain't but 144,000 going to heaven? They've changed that now.
Yeah.
They've changed that. Now, since there's so many more of them,
yeah,
they had to up that number. But at that time, they still believed they wasn't but 144,000 going to heaven.
Yeah.
I said, well, there's probably over a million of y'all, ain't they? And they said, well, yeah. I said, well, I ain't got a chance.
Yeah.
Amen. There are people in Israel right now. There are people in Iraq. There are people all over the Middle East, Afghanistan. Let me bring that a little closer to home. There are people right down the street who honestly believe they can secure a place in heaven by killing people. They believe that.
Yes, amen.
Those people who strap bombs to their bodies are sincere. They're more sincere than you. You won't hand somebody a gospel tract and tell them Jesus saves. They'll blow theirselves up. Amen. How dumb is that? And they believe they got all these virgins waiting on them when they get. Man, what a sad day. What a sad day. Yeah, just believe whatever you want. You're crazy. We need to get back to the Bible and realize that the only redemption is through the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It's not in us. It's not in our good works. It's not in a religion. It's not in a denomination.
Yes, sir. Amen.
The most famous thing in America right now as far as religion goes is come as you are. Believe what you want. Feel what you want. Do what you want. Act how you want. And everything will be all right. That is not what the Bible says.
Amen.
We need to get back to where we line up and do this thing God's way.
Yes, sir.
Jesus, if you're the only way, I accept you.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Amen. Did you know that we have a baptistry and we use it when people are saved? But did you know that salvation's not in that baptistry?
Amen.
It's not in having your name on a church roll. I had my name on a church roll for years. I was a member at White Oak Springs Baptist Church from 1972 as a five-year-old boy till as a 19-year-old boy when I got saved. If I'd have died before I was 19 years old, I'd have died and went to hell a member of the White Oak Springs Baptist Church. And you know what's sad? If some of you died today, chances are you'd die a member of the Happy Valley Baptist Church. Chances are you'd die with your name on some church roll somewhere and bust hell wide open.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
These simple truths are the truth that man, in his present condition, without Christ, is in a fallen state. That man needs forgiveness, man needs redemption, and Jesus is the answer.
Yes, sir.
Did you know he's the answer to our government?
Yes.
He's the answer to our economy. He's the answer to our marriages. He's the answer to our homes. He's the answer to everything.
Amen.
You say, well, you think Jesus is just a fix-all? Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir.
I certainly do. Amen. Yes. When we first started going to New Manna Baptist Church in North Carolina years and years ago, I'll never forget, they had a big banner. I think they still do. Big banner all the way across the back of that sanctuary. It says, Jesus is the answer to all your problems.
Yeah.
Amen. He still is. You ain't got a problem he can't solve.
Amen.
Amen. You ain't got a problem He can't fix.
Amen.
Our kids used to sing a song, "You can't ask too much of my God, but you need to ask."
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
We see the truth of the ruin of man. We see the blessing of the redemption of man. Let me ask you a question this morning, and I'm almost done. Are you saved? Do you know for sure? I mean, is that really settled in your heart? If you died right now, I've got to preach a funeral in just a little bit. I'm not 100% sure about this man's soul. He said, he told a missionary just a few weeks ago before he died, that he trusted Christ as his Savior. I pray he did. But you know, the only person who knows that is he and God. He and God. I do not have any desire to preach any of your funerals. I'm sure if the Lord tarries, I'll have to. But I don't have any desire to. Could you look me dead in the eye this morning and say, "Preacher, if you have to bury me tomorrow, tell my family I'm in heaven. Tell my family I knew for a fact that I was saved." Do you know? These truths we need to re-grasp in America is that man is in a mess. We're not doing great. We're doing horrible. Man didn't start off at a low state and got better and better and better. He started off perfect and got worse and worse and worse. Technology doesn't make us better. Education doesn't make us better. God makes us better. And when we're going in a direction away from Him, we're not doing well as a people. Amen? Then there's the redemption of man. Thank God we could be saved.
Amen.
Man, I would love to see revival in America.
Amen.
I would. I would love to see revival in Villarica.
Yes, sir.
I would love to see it. I'd love to see it break out. I wouldn't care which church it started in.
Yes.
Long as it started.
Amen.
Brother Shea, down here at Freedom and Temple's having revival this week. Brother Dean McNeese, boy, if you want to hear a preacher, I'd be a good one, boy.
Uh-huh.
Amen. I wouldn't care if revival broke out right there. If it broke out in Temple and started spreading this way, wouldn't bother me one bit. But we're going to have to realize it's through Jesus, not an evangelist. It's through Jesus, not a denomination.
Amen.
I wouldn't care if it broke out in the Methodist church.
Yes, sir.
Y'all okay?
Yes, sir.
I wouldn't care if it broke out up here at the Presbyterian church.
Amen.
I don't care. I just love to see revival.
Yes.
And the only way we're going to see that is we're going to have to realize it's through Jesus Christ. There's the ruin of man, the redemption of man. Thirdly, according to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4, there's the rise of man. The rise of man who have been redeemed.
Yes.
Amen. 1 Thessalonians, let me read this. Do you know Jesus is coming soon?
Yes.
Are you aware of that? Are you aware that the Lord is coming? Hey, the economy may not get fixed before He comes back. Suit me if He come before I have to do this funeral this afternoon.
Yeah.
Amen. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Verse number 16. Now watch this. He said, "For the Lord," watch this, "Himself."
Yes.
Yes.
For the Lord Himself. He's not sending a representative.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. Amen. He's not sending a representative. I've always heard Gabriel's going to blow the trumpet. It doesn't say that. Somebody said Gabriel's going to toot and we're going to scoot. Amen. Said, "For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven."
Yeah.
Mm. Watch this. With a what? With a shouting. Y'all don't like all that shouting, do you? You're going to enjoy that one. "With the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words." I remember when I was younger, when I was a kid, if a preacher, Sister Janice, y'all can come on toward the piano. If a preacher got up and preached on the rapture or the return of Christ, it would scare me. It would scare me. If a preacher preached real hard on hell, it would scare me, Brother Charles. I would go home and lay in the bed and I'd think, oh Lord, oh, I don't want to die and go to hell. I mean, boy, it would worry me sometimes for days.
Yeah.
Why would that worry me? It was supposed to comfort me. Do you ever remember making the statement, I want the Lord to come, but not now?
Yeah.
At some point, though, that changed, didn't it?
Yeah.
Suit me if he came today.
Yes,
if the preaching of the rapture of the church, if the preaching of the coming of Christ, if that unsettles you, if that bothers you in any way, shape, or form, something's wrong. He said, wherefore comfort ye one another with these words. That's supposed to be a soothing passage of Scripture right there, not a nerve-wracking one. Amen? I think for those of us who are ready to go and know Christ as our Savior, without a doubt, that Scripture doesn't bother us one bit. But for those of us who only have our name on a church roll, not really sure and settled in our soul about where we'll spend eternity, that Scripture will bother you.
Yeah.
Amen? And I hope if it bothers you this morning, you'll do something about it. Let's realize where we are. Let's don't leave this up to Washington to fix. Let's you and I do something about it. Let's realize where we are as a people. Let's realize where we are spiritually. And if we're not right with God, let's get right with God. Let's realize that Jesus is the only way, the only hope for our country, for our own selves, and let's run to Him this morning. And let's be ready for the rapture when He comes. Amen. Let's stand our feet all over the house. Ashley, would you and Elizabeth come and y'all get ready and sing a verse this morning? Listen, while they're coming to sing, could we just bow our heads all over the house this morning? Nobody looking around. Heads bowed and eyes closed. I know the message was very, very simple this morning. But it was very simple on purpose. Somebody needed to hear the gospel. Somebody here this morning needs to be saved. You know it, and God knows it. I'm not pretending to be super spiritual, know who you are, pretend I could come out there and lay my hand on your head. I can't do that. But God already has. God's already touched your heart and shown you this morning you need Christ. If you're here today and you're not sure that if you died right now, heaven would be your home, I want to pray for you. I won't embarrass you. I won't come to you. I won't call your name out publicly, I promise. I just want to pray for you. If you just slip up your hand and say, Brother Eddie, I'm not sure. If I died right now, heaven would be my home. Please pray for me. Anybody like that? Preacher, please remember me. God bless your heart, sis. Thank you. Thank you so much for being honest. Most of all, with yourself and honest with God. I wonder if there's any other. Preacher, I need to get this thing settled in my heart about my soul. Please pray for me. Anybody else? God bless you, sir. Thank you so much. Listen carefully this morning. I wonder if there's some here this morning say, Preacher, I know I'm saved. There's no doubt in my mind. I can tell you about the place. I can tell you about the time when I trusted Christ to come into my heart and forgive me of my sins. I know that I'm saved. But Brother Eddie, be real honest with you. I'm not where I ought to be with God. There's things in my heart that's not right this morning. Pray that I'd get back to Him and get where I need to be with the Lord. Hands all over this house. Thank you so much this morning. Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you this morning in Jesus' name, Lord, I pray, God, as I know you've seen these hands, and Lord, I know you know every heart, Lord, before a hand was ever raised. God, I pray that you'd deal with us accordingly this morning. Lord, don't let this gentleman leave unsure about his soul. Don't let this young lady leave, God, not knowing about where she'll spend eternity. Help them to leave with that assurance in their heart today. God, help us all, Lord, to get where we ought to be with God. Lord, to realize that you're the only hope, the only answer for all our troubles and all our trials. And God, we'll trust you and we'll thank you and we'll praise you for what you do this morning. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.